Psalm number 19 be our starting place tonight. Eight stops in the Bible. I've got a long introduction and a very, very short message. I've already been signaled by some folks from Old Paths. It went like this. So they're hungry. What? It wasn't me. Amen. All right. Heavenly Father, you have blessed our hearts this week and you have challenged our hearts, and we've laughed a little and we've wept a little and we've just enjoyed the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you'd help me tonight one more time to lift up and magnify your Son. Lord, I can't make him any larger than he is, but we can make him appear larger if we look at him just the right way. And I pray, God, you'd help me to do that. And thank you in Jesus' name and amen. If you've been here since Sunday morning, this is 24 sermons in 6 days. And what's good about it is they all run together, and you don't remember who preached what and who said this and who said that, but God's just done something in your heart and done something in your mind and something in your life, and that's how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be lifting up this preacher or that preacher, but lifting up Jesus Christ. And if all the preachers from Sunday morning through Friday night, if the end result of this is you've learned something about Jesus, you've gotten excited about something regarding Jesus, you've made some surrender to Jesus. That's why we have the meeting. That's why we came. And that's the intent. All right. Psalm number 19 and verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That matches Romans 1. The heathen have a head start on city dwellers and those being taught evolution in the schools. They look up in the sky at night and they know there's somebody greater than themselves. And they look at nature and they know that it didn't happen by accident, and their hearts are drawn to God. Their line, what's my line? What's your line? What's he saying? Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Now watch, he changes sentence, subject, right in the middle of the verse. In them, that's the heavens, hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as that great big burning ball of fire that rises every morning and sets every night is put there as a picture. It's an illustration. It represents something, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth of the strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Here's what God said. That sun in the sky, with its light and its brightness and its glory and its life-giving power and its warming heat, is a picture of a bridegroom. Anybody here know of a bridegroom that might be in view when the Holy Spirit's writing the Bible? All right, turn with me to Malachi chapter number 4. As mentioned last night, Malachi chapter number 4, the very last chapter God wrote before he went silent for 400 years. Malachi chapter number 4, the last hope in the Christian's Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 1. For behold, the day cometh. I like that. Behold, the day cometh. What day? That shall burn as an oven. And all of the proud, all the proud. We heard a message on the proud this morning. Yea, and all that do wickedly, they've been touched upon this week, shall be stubble. For the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. We've heard this week about iniquity, wickedness, sin, violence, crime, things happening in our world that shouldn't be happening. Somebody's coming to burn them up. Somebody's coming to reduce all of that to ashes. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the next verse, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son, look at what the Holy Spirit did. A capital S, it's a name, but the spelling is with a U. So that big ball of fire up in the sky represents a bridegroom who is a person. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and he shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. If you, maybe you're a brand new Christian, and you are, or maybe you come from a church that just got all the Bible all muddled up, and they don't divide it the way they're supposed to. Listen, there is a rapture of the church before the second coming of Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that? Because he's coming back to burn the wicked to ashes and reduce their kingdoms and their empires to stubble. And by the time I get here, they're ashes under my feet. Then I'm not here. I'm there. Then I'm not facing him. I'm riding behind him, cheering him on. Praise the Lord. So Psalm 19 says that sun, when it crosses the sky, that's a picture to you of a bridegroom. The Bible says in Malachi chapter number 4, the burning heat of the sun that consumes the wood, the hay, the stubble, the refuse, the waste upon this earth. That's a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. Somebody's coming. Somebody's coming to fix all this. Somebody's coming to burn up all the things that are troubling you. 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. What'd he say? He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Aren't you tired of wicked world rulers? You say, well, it's never been this bad. You've never lived in communist Soviet Union. You've never lived in North Korea. You've never lived in Saudi Arabia. You've never lived in communist China. It's been this bad for a long time everywhere else. But somebody's coming. Somebody's coming to put the government on his shoulder. Somebody's coming to establish a kingdom on this earth, and he is righteous. He's not a liar. He's not a thief. He's not an adulterer. He's not a crook. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and he's going to take over this planet. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. Verse 4. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Some of you, you save up your money and you get your money together and you flee the cold, frozen north. And you travel down to Florida and you rent your place on the beach for 3 or 4 days, and you get up early in the morning, you can hardly open your eyes, and you get your cup of coffee and you go out on the balcony to watch the sunrise over the ocean, and there's nothing out there but clouds. And then you go up to some lookout place and you wait and you tell your wife, you finish supper and you run out there and you wait. You go see the beautiful sunrise as the sun sets over the Gulf of Mexico, and you get a thunderstorm and the sun's there, but it's not there. And the sun's there, but it's not camera worthy. The Bible says, when this righteous king comes to set up his righteous kingdom on the earth, it will not only be the rising of the sun in the morning, it will be a morning without clouds. The beautiful rising of that great big red ball that comes up and drives out the darkness and drives away the night. And everything hurts worse at night, and here comes the morning, and everything's more frightening in the dark, and here comes the light. And the Bible says, on a clear, beautiful morning, as the sun begins to peek over that horizon, the Holy Spirit had David right. He's coming. Amen. He's coming to rule and reign in righteousness, and like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, you won't miss it. Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. We've heard this week about Saul of Tarsus being converted and being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit from Saul fighting against Jesus to Paul fighting for Jesus. What happened? Acts 22:6. Watch his testimony. Here's the second time he gives his testimony. The Bible says in verse number 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me.
Yeah.
What time of the day is it when Jesus appears to Saul of Tarsus? It's noontime. Look at Acts 26. Acts 26, verse number 13 or 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. Here's the testimony of Saul of Tarsus. It is high noon, and Jesus appeared in the sky, and the sun took a back seat to the bright, glorious light that Paul saw when he looked toward the Lord Jesus Christ. How about that? Man, we sing that song, "The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee." You ever look his way, it'll be brighter than any Hollywood lights. It'll be brighter than any stage lights. It'll be brighter than any TV or movie lights. I'm telling you, it'll be brighter than any sports highlights. You never seen a light like this one. All right, just set that aside. We'll come back to that in a minute. Joel chapter number 2. Joel chapter 2, the darkest hour, it's Bible, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. The pain is greatest just before the morning. The fear is deepest just before the day breaks. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Afterward. And your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Afterward, your old men shall dream dreams. Afterward, your young men shall see visions. Afterward, and also upon the servants, upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. Afterwards, after what? 29 or 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. There's coming a day when the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they'll all be prophesying. They'll all be singing. They'll all be testifying. Their sons and daughters will all be speaking great things about Jesus Christ. But not until the very sun itself goes dark. Not until the very moon itself turns to blood. Not until the stars fall from the heavens. That's what the Bible says. So you think that's literal? If God doesn't tell me in a verse it's not literal, it's literal. If God doesn't tell me in a passage what I really mean is this, then what he really means is just what he said. Never mind global warming. How about sun cooling? Don't you think the God... Now, you've got to believe in creation. You don't believe the first chapter of the Bible, you can't believe anything else in the Bible. Don't you believe that the God who in his hand just made this little ball of gases to give off enough light and heat and warmth and take care of this earth and then set it right out there and told it what time to get up in the morning, what time to go to bed at night. Don't you think God can reach over and turn that switch and turn it off? I do. Don't you believe the God that made that little moon that you know, it's a full moon, it's a half moon, it's a quarter moon? And how can you look at a calendar 50 years from now and know what phase the moon is going to be in on a certain calendar date half a century in the future? Because God Almighty set that watch and it runs on his time. And I'm going to tell you something. If God wants to take the moon he made and turn it into blood, I believe him. Amen. You say you think that's blood color? You think that's a blood? It don't matter to me. I'm going to be up there at the judgment seat of Christ, watching my life go up in smoke, but I'll be saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. The guy at Disciple B used to say, better saved and singed than burning in the fire. You know what he said? before it gets real good down here, it's going to get real dark down here. Before that sun comes up in the morning, that one that's a picture of that sun is going dark. You know, these people say, I don't want to get off track here. These people say, well, you know, I watched this video and I have thrown out 25 years of faith in the Word of God and I now believe I'm going through tribulation. Fine, help yourself. But instead of saying you're going through the tribulation, why don't you read Revelation and read Joel and read Isaiah, and why don't you say this, I'm going 3 months into the tribulation and die. Because it's very, very overly optimistic of you to say you're going through the tribulation. You can't get through a 3-day power outage without freaking out, man. You ain't going through, you're not going through 7 years. The blizzard came and knocked the power. When they got to get the power back on? It's been 3 hours. Shut up. And then they get the power turned back on and you turn your video back on about how you're going through 7 years of great tribulation. You don't know what you're talking about. The water's poisoned. The trees are burned down. There's creatures out of the pit stinging everybody. They're trying to die and they can't die. And then the devil comes down. And you're going to go through that. You and your pork and beans and your stuff you bought from Glenn Beck, you know. Yeah. Yeah. We get back, you let us know how that worked out. The reason you're not sufficiently afraid of the Great Tribulation is you don't know how dark, dark can be. When they turn out the light in that cave tour, you've been in those caves tours, and let me show you what it's really like to be, to turn out all your, and they turn the lights out in that cave, it ain't 30 seconds, man. Somebody's got their cigarette lighter out, they got their phone out, they're crying. God turns the lights out on this planet. It's not going to be what you think it is. It's going to be really, really bad. Really bad. Isaiah 13. In fact, you read whatever you want to read about wars in the past and famines in the past and plagues in the past. You know what Jesus said? These just beginning of sorrows. These aren't tribulation. You ain't seen nothing yet. Isaiah 13. Anybody here believe what the Bible says? Yeah. All right, look at verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. You talk big and tough now about how you'll handle this and you'll handle that, and I'd stand up for the Antichrist. I wouldn't take the mark. You see what the Bible just said? All hands faint, every man's heart shall melt. You better just get saved and say, come, Lord Jesus. Stop bragging about what you'd do if you had to do something. You don't know what you'd do.
If somebody's God never come for me, I'll go to a concentration camp.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I tell our church, you know, we got people there, they're all worried. They're going to come take us, put us concentration camp. I said, well, you can get out of that real easy. Just mouth off to the guard. And there's a quick way out of that. I'm just telling you, if God said, he's talking about mighty men here and soldiers and weightlifters and brave people and people don't back down to anybody. You know what he just said? Everybody's going to be scared. It's worse than anything mankind has ever faced. You're not saved. You better get saved. Verse number 8, and they should be afraid. Pangs and sorrows should take hold of them. They should be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They should be amazed one at another. Why? Because it's worse than they expected. Their faces should be as flames. You believe that? Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Cruel. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's kind. He's loving. He's compassionate. You say no to him. You'll see the side of him they don't preach on TV. Yeah. Cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. I'm so glad. Look, I'm a sinner. But I came to Jesus and got my sins washed away in his blood. I'd rather be a saved sinner than a destroyed sinner. Praise God. Verse 10. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. You can't get your horoscope in the morning if Pisces is out of business. You can't plan your day by the stars if God shut them down. Did he make them? You believe that? Did he call them all by name? Do you believe that? Did he make them shine? You believe that? Then he can shut them down. Stars of heaven, a constellation of it shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. He didn't say the sun's not coming up. He said when it comes up, no light. No light. Say, how can that be? I don't need to know how it can be. I just need to believe what God said. You know where I'm going? I'm going to a city that has no need of the sun. No need of the moon. No need of the stars. For the Lamb is the light thereof. See, Jesus is so bright. His light is so bright that the sun is there to point you to him while you can't see him. But if you ever get to a place where you can see him, you won't need the sun. You know what that sun is? It's the little nightlight that helps you guys get through the living room after your wife moves the furniture for some unknown reason. What was wrong with it where it was? Well, you haven't broken your toe in a few months. I thought I'd move things around. Tell you something, you got a mighty powerful God. If the sun is a little 5-watt light bulb in the kitchen to get you there in the nighttime. Praise the Lord. Keep reading. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. You know what God has to do to reduce the proud of this earth to groveling, begging, whimpering, whining, terrified individuals? Just turn off the light. Nobody cares if you're a billionaire, if you're in the dark. Nobody cares if you're a premier or a president or a dictator or a general. When all the lights are out, you are as scared as the 5-year-old servant in your quarters. You know what God's going to do? He's going to turn the lights out. And then there's no big people and small people. There's no rich people and poor people. There's no strong people and weak people. He said, every man will be afraid. Why? It's dark. It's very, very dark. Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. If you're not saved, you shouldn't even wait for me to finish preaching. The rapture can happen before I finish preaching, and you'd say, oh, what did I do? What did I do? You waited too long. Yeah. 7 years of great tribulation coming. I believe that. 7 years. That's what I believe. You don't believe that? You say, well, I'll straighten you out in the lobby. No, you won't. No, you won't. I used to argue. I don't argue anymore. Because you're not listening to me, I'm not listening to you. So let's just go eat a sandwich and have fellowship. Amen. Well, I think it doesn't matter. Amen. Doesn't matter. I'm going up. If Lord comes tonight, I'm going up, and I'll come back when it's time to come back. And I think it's 7 years. If you think it's 1 year or 14 years, well, help yourself. But here's what the Bible says. Immediately, these people right most of you, I listen to you all the time, and you said something else from, you listen to me all the time, and you never said, I agree with that, 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 I agree with that. But on the 54th sermon you listened to, you heard something you didn't agree with, and you send me an email. I'm not reading it. I learned that from Biden. I'm not reading it. You just Matthew 24, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, that tribulation is worse than anything that's ever happened on the face of the earth. And immediately after the tribulation, it gets worse than that. Look, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Jesus said that. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. All right, you ready for the sermon? That's introduction. The sermon's real short. It's real sweet. And if you don't like as much as I did, that's okay, because maybe you weren't bothered by the verse I'm about to read for as long as I was bothered by the verse I'm about to read. But you know, when you get saved in the 70s, and the big thing is prophecy, and you got the, you know, the Southwest Radio Church and the prophecy of the air and all these prophetic teachers and everything. And in order to have a program like that every day, you got to come up with a lot of stuff. And I love those guys, and I thank God for those guys. And it was better to have Christian radio than conservative talk radio. So I'm not knocking all those guys. I'm just saying they told me a lot of things that were pulled out of current events, but they weren't pulled out of the Bible, and it just didn't work. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 5. Here's where we were Tuesday night. Or no, Wednesday morning. And from Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:5. Who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Right now he's the prince of the kings of the earth because he's waiting. One day he's going to be king of kings, lord of lords. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. You know what they told me? Now that we've got TV, like people in huts in Africa are watching TV. Yeah. Now that we got satellites. All right, you ready? So we are 6 years, 11 months, and 29 days in the Great Tribulation. Just to help yourself.
You know, I think it's...
Never mind. We're at the very, very, very end of the Great Tribulation. And God turns off his sun. And God turns off the moon. And God shuts down the stars. And the entire earth is plunged into deep, dark...
You said, what about the electric lights?
You haven't read Revelation, have you? The commercial system has collapsed. The economic system has collapsed. The environment has collapsed. There's no money. There's no power. There's nothing. And God turns out all the lights. And then a door in heaven is opened. And a light brighter than the noonday sun begins to make its way down toward planet Earth, riding on a white horse. And that light is getting closer and closer and brighter and brighter. And there is no other light. There's nothing else to see but this fireball of light coming toward the Earth. And the people of this Earth look up, and for the first time in their life, they get it right. They say, "Oh my God!" And it is. It is. You know how every eye can see him? Because there's nothing else to see. You know how every eye can see him? Because the light that knocked the eyeballs out of Saul of Tarsus is going to circle this earth. And here I am, here I am, here I am. And set foot on the Mount of Olives and split that thing in two and ride through the Eastern Gate, and the light of the world.
Yeah.
will drive out the darkness of the great tribulation by himself. I like that better than getting TVs to everybody in Indonesia.
Yes, sir.
You know, if you were sitting here tonight and the power went out in this room, including the exit lights, and you couldn't see a thing, you'd be happy for one little flashlight. You'd be happy for one person pulling out their cell phone and turning that light on. But if it's dark in here and it lasted an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, a day, 2 days, 5 days, and then suddenly somebody walked through that door who shone brighter than the sun at high noon, it'd do more than light the room. It would, let me date myself, it would blow your mind. And I'm telling you, in the deepest, darkest hour that the sinners of this world have brought upon themselves by their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to come in such a way that there will be absolutely no mistaking who it is and how he came and where he landed and who's got the power and who's got the might. Why will every eye see him? He's the sun coming out of the bridal chamber. He's the sun rising on a morning without clouds. He's the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Come to Matthew 24 and we'll finish for the week. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Believe it not. Well, they, you know, Jesus over there in a secret cave somewhere. Jesus snuck in an underground tunnel in Jerusalem. Jesus been hiding over there in India just waiting for a peace treaty. No, no, no. 26, wherefore if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east. That's not a bolt of lightning in a thunderstorm. That's the sun rising to give light to the earth. And shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Next time you're up early enough, next time you got a clear view, and you watch that sun come up over that horizon, and you watch the darkness flee and the night lay down, remember, that's a little teeny tiny picture of the coming of the crucified, risen, exalted, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. Every eye will see him, because in the midst of a darkness so deep, only God could drive it out. God will come and drive it out. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Now, if he can bring light to a dark world, he can certainly bring light to your darkened soul. Why don't you let the light, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, shine into your heart and drive out your darkness and take away your fear and your iniquity and your sin. He doesn't want to destroy you. He wants to save you. He doesn't want you to be here on the receiving end of his wrath. He wants you tonight to be on the receiving end of his saving grace. I tell you, he's coming. He's coming. It'd be a lot better to come with him than to have him coming to get you. Praise the Lord. I used to wonder, oh, I'd wonder, how can every eye see him? How could you not? You won't be able to miss it. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we're excited about the coming of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he's coming. We know he's coming in power and great glory. But maybe tonight, Father, maybe you've helped us to get a little better understanding of that glory, a little better understanding of that power, be a little more impressed with the majesty and the awe-inspiring wonder when the sun rises on a dark, dark world. Thank you, Father, for the hope that is ours of the soon coming of Christ for his church and the certain coming of Christ to take over this world. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor.